desperation. Without hope walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet ran in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside, there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death had wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. Yes, the cross made the difference for me.
All right, praise God, the cross has made a difference, has it not? I hope you never forget the day that you came to Christ. Just kind of reminisce over those types of things from time to time and remember what Jesus has done for you. You know, I can remember every morning I come into this auditorium and early on Sunday mornings and cut the lights on and just take a few minutes every Sunday morning to reminisce about the day I came to Jesus Christ. In a service just like this, preaching, invitation, walked the aisle, got born into the family of God. I'm telling you, folks, you've heard me say this many times, when I found out that you could be saved forever, I went nuts. Because I never thought you could be. And then somebody told me that Jesus Christ paid it all. It wasn't a down payment, it was a payment in full. It was finished the day salvation was completed. 3 days and three nights he was in the grave. Up from the grave he came 3 days and three nights later, ascended and now sits at the right hand of God. And one day, he's coming back to receive those of us who have been born into the family of God. And the reason I get to go up in the rapture, or if I see him in the rapture and I'm alive, wonderful. But if I meet him in death, wonderful. But either way, I shall forever be with the Lord, all because of salvation in Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to read just one verse for our text verse. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 3. Would you stand with me, please? Isaiah prophesying here. You know, Israel had really messed itself up, and Isaiah's prophesying here, letting them know that one day they shall be restored. But he makes a statement under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in verse number 3 that I want to use as our text verse this morning. And Isaiah in his prophecy says this, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught." Isn't it amazing how we'll give over to the world and to things for the smallest little issues, for the smallest little payment. We'll give ourselves over to the things of the world. He says, you've sold yourselves for naught, but here's the statement I want you to look at, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Ye shall be redeemed without money. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. There are some things that money cannot buy. There are things that money cannot buy. Now, Father, we're grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be here in a free country. Thank you, Lord, that as our hearts were stirred yesterday, as we remembered all of the things that happened this time 9 years ago, and all the people that are still suffering, and all the people that still have heavy burdens in hearts. And Lord, yet you've given us a free country. Lord, we must not take it for granted. We must stand up for truth. We must stand up for right. We must stand up for biblical values. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'd stir our hearts now today, and that you would inspire us, Lord, as we go forth to do the work in which you called us to. Thank you for the precious reading of your word. Bless it, I pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Money, money, money. We hear about it all the time. We're confronted with it every single day. You know what? I found out our landlord wants money. I just went down to the Kroger grocery store not too long ago here, just a few days ago, and you know what? They want money. I found out that the bank wants money. The grocery store wants money. I bought a car a few years ago. You know what that guy wanted? Money. If you bought a house, you know what? They want money. You know what your utility companies want? Money. You see, it just seems like everywhere we turn, somebody's got their hand out. They want money. They want something in exchange for their service. You know, it seems that everywhere we turn in life, someone is always wanting money for something. And if we don't give it, you know what? We can't keep our car. They won't let us keep our house. They'll cut our lights off, cut our water off. Why? Because we didn't give no money. You see, with our economy in the shape that it's in, everybody's paying more attention today to their money. And a lot of people have cut back because because of the reduction of our income. But may I say to you this morning, as a believer, we should never cut back on God. Do you know God? This is an opportunity. He says, oh, things, the times are bad. That's when God's at his best. God's at his best when we think things are bad. Man, we ought not to give up the ship on God just because things are bad. Man, I ain't got as much money in my pocket, preacher, as I used to. Well, I don't think very many people have as much money in their pocket as they used to. But you know, money's not everything. There's some things money can't buy. You see, our economy may be in bad shape. God's not in bad shape. This is a time that God can display His goodness and His greatness in a greater way than ever before. You see, some of us are sitting here this morning, and what's on our minds? Not preaching. What's on our minds? Not the Bible. Some of you are here this morning, and what's on your mind? Money. You're thinking about how you're going to buy groceries for your family tomorrow. Some of you are thinking about how you're going to pay your bills, or how you're going to pay your electric bill or your utilities or make your car payment. May I say to you that money, or the lack thereof, has caused so many to become unsettled, uncertain, unstable, unsure, and unfortunately, unfaithful. because we based everything on money. What if I was to tell you that your local grocery store tomorrow between 12 and 1 o'clock was going to allow anybody to come in, take anything they want. It wasn't going to cost you a red cent. I wonder how long the lines would be. I wonder how many people would show up if it didn't cost them anything to get as many groceries as they wanted. Oh, let's go a little bit further. Let's go where our heart is. I wonder if Jerry Jones announced that next year the entire home schedule, all 8 games, totally free. It's all free. Food's free. Drinks free. Admission's free. Parking's free. And some people spend more on parking than I've ever spent on a game, period. I wonder how many people would take him up on that if they could go to the ball game for nothing. Absolutely free. No money whatsoever involved. He said, oh, I can't wait. What grocery store is it? When is it going to happen? Those are just illustrations. Those will probably never happen. Okay? But can I say this to you? What if I was to say that God could and would supply all your needs in life, and it wouldn't cost you $1. You'd say, really? God would do that? Now, I didn't say it wouldn't cost you anything. I said it wouldn't cost you a dollar. Right? Because what happens is we associate so much with money. And we think that God is so concerned about money. May I say this to you? God's more concerned about your life than He is your money. You see, God so desires our life. He so desires a relationship with us that He's paid for everything up front. So that you and I could be free, free of fear, free of worry, and free from debt. He paid it all up front. You say, He did when? Long time ago, long before you even thought of. Say, I've always been thought of in the mind of God. Yeah, but you weren't in your parents' mind. Not 2,000 years ago, you weren't. And God paid everything up front. You see, God is interested in you as an individual. And yet we're so money-oriented. I mean, it's like, you know what? The more money we get, the more power we get, the more secure we feel. And you know what most people do that end up getting a whole bunch of money? They spend all their life worrying about it. And they spend all their life trying to keep other people from getting it. Now, I'm just here to tell you, there's some things that money can't buy. It can't buy. Say, what are they, preacher? Well, let's look at them for just a moment. First of all, you can't buy the favor of God. You can't buy the favor of God. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. If you would, turn to the New Testament, Acts chapter 8. I want to show you a quick story of a guy that tried to buy the favor of God. You say, that knucklehead, he's trying to buy the favor of God with money? Yeah. Just like some of us try to buy the favor of God with money. Here's what we think. We think if we pull our wallet out and we give God a tithe, then He owes us. Now, wait a minute, you got it backward. We owe Him. We think that if we put a dollar in, that that is buying a dollar's worth of favor. Or if we put $5 in, that's $5 worth of favor. We're so more money-oriented. It's money, 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 right? And here's what some of you think. We're starting our stewardship conference today. And you know what some have already decided? I'm not coming because all they're going to do is talk about money. Well, you know something? Next time you go pick your paycheck up, you know what you're going to talk about? Money. When you go to your bank and you make that deposit, you know what you want them to talk to you about? Money. How much I got? How much interest am I making on these accounts? Isn't it amazing? We accuse God for the same thing we do. God, all you want is concerned about is money. Isn't it amazing how we're concerned about it as well? But many times it's only when it has to do with us and our benefit. But you're not going to buy the favor of God. You're not going to buy the benevolent hand of God. You're not going to buy the support and kindness and love of God. Look in Acts chapter 8, if you would please. Verse 9. The Bible says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one." You know why? He had a little power. Yeah, I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, you want to find out what somebody's character is like, give them a little authority and power. That always brings it out of them. Here he is, and everybody says, "Oh, he's the great one." But you know what? He was of the devil, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Hey, listen, folks, you know, we're so confused today on what the power of God is and what's not. This guy didn't have the power of God. He had the power of Beelzebub, of Belial, of Satan. And yet they said, "Oh, he's got the great power of God." They were so ignorant of the Scripture, they couldn't tell the difference. And yet we have people that have money, and we look at them and we think, man, God must be blessing them. Tell you one thing, there's been a whole bunch of people that have lived and died and had a whole lot of money. You know how much they took with them? None. They didn't take none of it with them. Not at all. He says, "To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This is the man of has the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Wait a minute. Now let's look what happens in verse 13. "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Look at the next verse. "And when Simon saw that, through laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, or on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them." What did he offer them? "Money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.'" Here's a guy who was trying to buy the favor of God. I'm here to tell you, you can't buy it with money. It's not available with money. And yet here's a guy that tried to purchase the favor, the kindness, the benevolence, the support, the authority of God with money. And yet the Scripture is very, very plain to us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27 says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth," he gains favor. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 2 says, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord." Did you notice what was connected in the obtaining of favor from God? Was there any money involved? Never was. What was involved in obtaining the favor of God? It says, "He that seeketh good, and a good man obtaineth the favor of the Lord." And yet we got people that are trying to purchase the favor of God with money. May I say to you that Noah found favor with God without money? May I say to you that Joseph found favor with God, no money involved. Moses found favor, the favor of God, no money involved. May I take you over to the New Testament and tell you that the Scripture says Mary, the mother of Jesus, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You see, how did these people get it? They didn't pay for it. I'll tell you how they got it. They got it by being faithful. They got it by loving, by being honest, by being committed, obedient, by having a clean life, dedicated life, by submission. That's how they got the favor of God. There's no money involved. You see, there's some things that money cannot buy. And one of them is the favor of God. the benevolence of God, the support of God. You see, we may weep our way into the favor of God. We may love our way into the favor of God, sacrifice our way into the favor of God. We may serve our way into the favor of God, but you listen to me, you will never buy your way into the favor of God. Ever. Many times I've gone out and knocked doors and talked to people, and they'll tell me, say, "Preacher, I'm so out of the will of God, and I don't know what to do." And they said, "The only thing I could think to do, and so help me." They'll reach back in their wallet and pull money out and say, "Would you put this in the church offering for me?" And I'll say, Why do you want me to put this in the church offering? I just feel like I need to give to God. Now, you have to read between the lines of what they're saying is, maybe God will show favor to me if I'll give him 20 bucks. Maybe God will have mercy on me if I'll just give him some money. Happens all the time. Why? Because we're so money-oriented, we think that God needs this in order to extend mercy or favor. Got some news for you. It's not for sale. You don't get the favor of God by money. Can't buy it with money. How do you get it? How about just try being faithful? How about let's just try to honor and be honest before God? How about let's be committed to the principles of the Bible? How about let's just stand up for what's right and truth? How about that? That's a good starting place. You know that? Just stand up for God. Be a witness for the Lord in public places. God says, "Boy, you know what? That old boy down there, man, he'll stand up. He's talking about me everywhere. He's talking to people about Christ. He's talking about my love, my goodness, my majesty, my power." Probably a good place to start to get the favor of God, right? You can't buy the favor of God with money. Take your Bible now and go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. May I say also, you cannot buy the peace of God with money. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Hold your place there. Turn over just a page or two to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse number 15. Paul once again says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." You're not buying the favor of God with money. And can I say, you're not buying the peace of God with money. No, you're not buying it. And yet people are trying to do it all over the place, trying to buy the peace of God with monetary things. Let me ask you this. What are you willing to do for peace and joy in your life? How much is your sanity worth to you? You say, "Preacher, I just toss and turn at night and it doesn't have anything. I just something's bothering me. I don't know what it is. Something's bothering me." You don't have any peace about something. So you know what you're going to do? You can't give it in the offering plate to get the peace of God. You say, "Oh, does that mean that God doesn't want my tithes and offerings?" No, not at all. We're going to get there in just a minute. Okay, he don't like that either. But what I'm telling you, you're not going to buy the favor of God with money. And you're not buying the peace of God with money. You say, "Oh, I want peace so bad. I want that harmony. I want happiness. I want that security in my heart so I can serve God. I can sleep at night." Well, let's find out how Paul said you're going to get it. Go back, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Here's what he said beginning in verse number 3. Paul says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." You say, "Oh, how can I get the peace of God?" How about laboring for the Lord a little bit? How about let's just labor just a little bit? He said, "What's that mean? How about let's just serve just a little bit? Let's just find something that we can do for God." So how do I know what God wants me to do? Well, first of all, how about you just accept how God's made you and accept how God's created you and find out what abilities He's given you and put them to practice. Let's just labor for the Lord. You know what you get? You get peace. Man, I'm telling you, you know how good I feel after I go out and talk to some people about Christ? Man, I'm telling you, I get back in the car to go home, I feel good. You Sunday school teachers, you come and you teach a Sunday school class of boys and girls, and a little boy or girl raises his hand up and asks prayer for somebody. Or maybe that little boy and girl raise their hand and says, "Yes, Johnny, what's your prayer request?" "I just want to thank God for you, teacher. You're the best teacher in the whole world. Thank you, Johnny." Hey, you're not going to tell me that teacher don't feel good. How did he get? Where did that come from? That teacher would never have heard that if they weren't laboring for the Lord. Look what else he says. Not only says, should we be laboring for the Lord that we're going to get peace. Look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Anybody got anything to rejoice over? Hey, well, we got lots. We can find lots to complain over. But when are we going to start rejoicing? I promise you, if God put the joy that He's extended to you on one side of the scale and all the other stuff that's happened in your life on the other side of the scale, I promise you joy is going to win out every time. Because what price can you put on salvation? Because that, you know what side that goes on? That goes on the joy side. I mean, you'll never get that off the ground. You say, "But you don't understand. This happened, and this happened, and this happened." You'll never get it off the ground. You know why? Because you can't buy peace with money. If we're going to get it, we're going to have to labor. We're going to have to rejoice. Look what else he says. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." How about let's minister through the Lord? Now, folks, listen. Here's what we do. If we're not careful, we come to church and we want to be ministered to rather than minister. Now, you know, when we come to church, it's going to happen both ways. You're going to get ministered to, but we need to minister as well. We not only need to be intaking, there needs to be some outgo in our lives. We're not going to get by peace with money. We're going to get it through laboring with the Lord. We're going to get through rejoicing in the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, people get saved. People come. They walk the aisle. They get born again. They come up and get baptized in the baptistry. You know what? We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice. Man, you leave church and say, "Man, you see, God did that. It did it again. Salvation came again. I saw it in my own eyes. I feel good when I leave and see lives changed and people saved or people recommitting themselves to the Lord." Look in verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer." By prayer. We need to be praying to the Lord. Laboring, rejoicing, ministering. He says, "You want peace? How about spend a little time with me? I'll give you peace that passeth all understanding." You know what? That private time. Go back and read Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. For a believer, Jesus didn't say, "If you pray, go into your closet." He said, "When you pray." He said, we need relationship. That means we ought to be doing that. So praying reveals peace. And God, through prayer and answer to prayer, hey, listen, how do you feel when you see God? You've been praying for something for so long and God answers that prayer. You get a little peace inside? Oh yeah. Boy, you feel good, don't you? You know how you got it? You didn't pay for it. You got it through that ministry of prayer. Look what else he says. And he says, "At prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." How about let's have a little Thanksgiving party before God. Just thank God. You say, "What can I thank Him for?" Well, let's see. Salvation. Don't have to go to hell. Mansion in heaven. Hey, I got one. How about life? I'm alive. Say, "Brother Todd, did God answer a prayer for you this morning?" Sure did, because when I woke up, I went, "Yeah, I'm alive. Because you know what my prayer is every day? Lord, give me another day to live. And I woke up, hey, I'm alive. God, answer my prayer. So that's crazy. That's just by chance. Oh, really? You see, He breathed and I became a living soul. And the Lord giveth and the Lord can take it away. You see, during the night, old death could have come. And put me away. But God, through His goodness and grace, you see, you don't purchase the peace of God with money. How are we going to get the peace of God? Laboring, rejoicing, ministering, praying, thanksgiving. When you turn to Colossians chapter 3, you'll find there that we're to be long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, teaching, admonishing. Wait a minute now. Singing. Hey! Brother Sam, wouldn't that be a novel idea if we came and we got peace through singing? You ever wonder why we have a song service? Because we want everybody to sing, because the Bible says that through singing, go check me out, that through singing comes peace. See, you can't buy that with money. It comes through the various things of God. Laboring, rejoicing, ministering, praying, thanksgiving, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, teaching, admonishing, singing. I'm just asking you, hey, people all over the world are spending thousands of dollars trying to purchase peace. They invest money here, invest money here, invest money here. But may I say to you, peace is of God, not of men. You can't buy it with money. Turn if you're in your Bible, if you would, Psalm 27. Let me give you another one. Psalm 27. You can't purchase the favor of God with money. You cannot purchase the peace of God. Can I say this to you? Psalm 27, you can't purchase the protection of God either. You can't purchase the protection of God. Psalm 27, verse 5. Are you there? Psalm 27 and verse 5. David says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." In my time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. We've got several men in our church that serve as security guards. And they go to various locations, or a company may hire them, or some may work at a bank. But you know, that bank hires them. They pay them for that job. They pay them in order to come and protect the interest of the bank, or protect the interest of a company. They pay them to help them to preserve from loss and people breaking in. They're there to defend their business. They're there to defend the things in which they're paid to shelter them. You're not going to buy the protection of God with money. May I say to you, David didn't purchase God's protection when he faced Goliath, now did he? You know what he said? He says, "You come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear." He said, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord." Why? Because protection was not in a sword, it was in God. Listen, he wasn't going to say, "Lord, before I go out and meet Goliath, I'm just a poor shepherd and I only got just a couple of bits in my pocket. And would you take these before I go out just in case?" Didn't do it at all. He just said, "Man, all I need is some rocks." And he grabbed him some rocks, put them in his pouch, had his sling, went out there. And that giant said, "You know, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls." Is that right? We'll see. Because that giant thought the protection was in other things. He forgot that he was being protected by God. God was his defense. God was his salvation. God was his shelter. God was who was going to preserve him. How about old Daniel when they pushed him off into the lion's den? Reckon when he got down, he thought, "You know what, Lord? Man, I didn't put my tithe in today. I really feel bad about that." Now, you know what? Daniel had made preparations for the lion den long before there ever was a lion den. You see, he had made preparations for going down in his time of trouble long before there was a decree. You see, he didn't purchase the protection of God. Neither did those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're not bound down to that image. I'll throw you in the fire. Okay, throw us in the fire. You think your God's going to deliver you? Well, we believe he will, but, if not, we're still not bound down. You know why? Because protection's not purchased with money. They didn't say, wait, time out. Somebody go get mama. Tell her to kick in the IRA. Tell her to drain my savings account. Hey, I've got a little nest egg under the mattress. Go get it. Didn't do that at all. Go ahead, throw us in. And he did. And you know what? Did God deliver? Oh, yes. You know why? Because you can't buy protection. You can't buy the protection of God with money. How about old Joseph and Moses and Paul and the apostles? Hey, you know something? Remember I told you we was going to get back to this tithe and offering thing? Take your Bible for just a second, if you would. You want some bully insurance? Hey, I'm just asking, do you want bully insurance? Do you know what's in the Bible? Where's bully insurance? I'll show you. If you would, Malachi chapter 3. Turn there quickly. Malachi chapter 3. You see, the thing about it is when you've gotten right with God, you've surrendered to God, you've got the peace of God, you can talk about money all you want, you ain't gonna bother me. You know why? Because I settled that a long time ago. Long time ago. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Everybody with me here? Will a man rob God? Not an honest one. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Oh my goodness, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, but ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the local New Testament church. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All right, here comes bully insurance right out in the side of your Bible here. Circle this verse right out, bully insurance. Here's what God says. And I will rebuke the devourer. For whose sake? For mine. For my sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what that is? That's God's bully insurance against the devil for you. You say, how you get in on it? You say, I thought you said you couldn't buy protection with money. Not buying it with money. I'm just giving to God. He's providing it free of charge. I'm not buying the insurance. I'm not buying the protection. I'm just obeying God, and God provides that. It's kind of one of the fringe benefits. Amen. It's called bully insurance. So you're not going to purchase the favor of God with money. You're not going to purchase the peace of God. You're not going to purchase the protection of God with money. Let me give you one last thing. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark 8, verse 36. Everybody with me? Mark 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? May I say lastly this morning, you're not purchasing the salvation of God with money. Not possible. You know why you can't purchase it with money? Because he's already purchased it with blood. With the blood of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation cannot be purchased with money. You see, God is trying to give salvation freely, and most of the world's trying to purchase it. God said, I've already bought it. I've already purchased it. Didn't come with money. People are feeding the hungry and poor, by the way, which we should, but that's not going to get you saved. People are being benevolent toward the less privileged, and we should. But that's not salvation. People are building homes for the misfortunate and the elderly, and that's wonderful, and we should, but that is not going to purchase salvation. People are serving at the local shelters or Red Cross or some organization helping the less fortunate, and we should, but that is not going to purchase salvation. Contributing toward the construction of a hospital or a retirement center and daycares, whatever the case may be, you say, I've given money to all these things. You know, most professional athletes, they think that's buying them a little favor with God. If you don't believe it, go listen to them talk. That if they all they got to do is donate so much money to one of the hospitals to put a wing in their name, they feel good about themselves. And somehow they think that that investment, surely God will overlook my sin. Sorry. Hey, great, appreciate the money. Good idea. Hey, we built the wing. But without Jesus, you still got to go off into eternity without God. Now let me conclude and say this. Money may be acquired or paid to acquire some personal little toys that we have. And we all have been there to where we've bought this and bought that and bought this and bought that. But it will never satisfy the requirement of a holy God for salvation. The only shed blood of Jesus, and it is the only payment for our sin, to pay your sin debt. You're not going to purchase it with money. And yet God is trying to give it. He's trying to give it to us. And we're trying to give Him money in exchange. The Scripture said, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer to that is, you ain't got nothing to give. That's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift. God has already given it. All you've got to do is receive it, because you're not going to purchase the favor of God with money, nor the peace of God, nor the protection of God. And if you're here today without Christ, may I say to you, you're not going to purchase the salvation of God without money. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed.